Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. This is the show where Billy Body and myself, Kev Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, go over everything that happened this week on SmackDown and Raw. I'm a little more lively because it is not 4 a.m. and I can hoot and holler, and I have a lot to scream about at least about fucking Raw, and we're going to get into it. Follow all my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. Hello, Billy. How are you?
Better than I was.
You could breathe?
I can breathe. We'll do the end of year show next week, because I figured there would be more to talk about this week, so I left it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was setting my hopes up too high, because there's fuck all to talk about other than the last 4 minutes of Raw. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed that main event and the aftermath, and we will get to it and go through it.
You said that to me like, oh, the last 40 minutes is good. But I set my hopes up too high because you said that.
Oh.
And I wasn't giving a shit about this match. Maybe I'll watch it back and it may be better to me, but no.
Well, in the beginning I started going, fuck, is he going to win the title? And they actually had me for a fucking minute just because of the structure and the stars on the stage and shit like that, where I was like, huh. And so we'll get into it, but we're going to SmackDown first. And it's Roman and Paul and Uso in the ring. And Roman talks about how he's mad because, or how he made Uso because he acknowledged him. And that's all that needs to be done. He needs to be acknowledged. Like, I'm like, this company's acknowledged Roman for how fucking long, but he's pissed because he's not acknowledged. Owen shows up. Roman says, you got a good payday by having a match with me. You know, I helped your family because you were with me. So go away. Owen says, you didn't get the job done. I'm still here. But he wants Uso for the night, and he's going to make sure he gets a match with Uso. Corbin versus... when you have any points about any of this, jump in, because I'm figuring we don't have a lot of points for some of these things. It is what it is. Corbin versus Big E, non-IC title. Sami Zayn commentates. Big E's busy paying homage to Brody, doing the gator roll, things like this. This was his buddy. I do enjoy the fake slammies that Sammy has. And they do make me fucking giggle that they're fucking soup cans that are spray painted. Sammy jumps in the ring after the big ending. It's a DQ because the Hoodie Crew shows up. Then Apollo shows up. And then Teddy Long comes out and says, let's make this a tag team match, playa. Now, did you see that I wrote these notes before Teddy Long actually came out on Raw and said?
I did not.
I was so pissed. I go, they fucking stole my joke. I wrote this on fucking Friday. And they actually did it on Monday.
Or you just straight out predicted how predictable they would be.
I guess so. I'm like, here we go. The only thing I didn't write was that Teddy Long came out and said Undertaker match. Sammy and Corbin versus Apollo and Big E. This is fucking so bizarre. And this was my first what the fuck in my notes. Sammy tags himself in and goes for the hell of a kick with Corbin holding Apollo. Apollo moves and Sammy holds up and does not hit Corbin. Fucking prevents it. Whoa, we stopped this. Okay, cool. Almost. Sammy then gets pushed by Corbin. Corbin's yelling at him, saying, you almost hit me. This is the feud. You almost hit me. Corbin and Sammy goes, yeah, and I didn't. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Corbin walks off. This is fucking retarded. He's mad because he almost got hit. Apollo pins Sammy while distracted, gets the win. What do you think about how... Does this make any fucking sense at all?
No, it's just house show booking. It's just house show booking to get out of the match that they set out to fill time. Because this is like somehow Corbin can't get pinned anymore because he's with a new group. And the next week they're just getting to Apollo and Big E. So they just filled out 35 minutes. Our expectations of SmackDown are higher than this. I mean, the week before, it turned out that they pulled out the record number of the year, coming with that leading off the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done nothing with it. They've done nothing with it here, even with keeping Roman and Owens going and stretching out the shit between Sammy and Big E. It all felt like, okay, like, how are we going to occupy time? And that's the problem. That's when even SmackDown is not a good show, when the mentality is, how are we going to occupy this time when you don't have anything better to put in this slot? Stupid.
It's a failure of their own success, because they've gotten so big to where they can make like that 3-hour show shit, right? And so we're doing homework, obviously, for the Russo show, and begun watching January of 97. My first note is Raw is 1 hour and it is jam packed. No time for bullshit. Let's fucking go. And it was a great show. And I'm like, oh, I do remember saying, oh, I wish it was longer. But that's the whole point of absence makes the heart grow fonder. You have something. I would rather be left wanting more, like our actual fans of podcasts on a poll have tweeted and said, oh, I fucking wish there was more of this show. And I would reply, leave them wanting more. Always better than going, oh, I have 10 of these shows stacked up in my fucking podcast feed because it's too fucking much. So make someone hungry for something. WWE doesn't make you hungry for shit anymore. You were hungry for pay-per-views when there were 6 or 4 a year. Now you go, fuck, there's a pay-per-view 2 weeks from the last fucking pay-per-view. Oh, and it's the same hours that Raw is? Nothing special now. There's no special 3-hour Raw this week, where, remember, you would get excited. Ooh, a fucking 3-hour Raw this week? Shit, that's a special. You want to kill yourself that Raw's 3 hours. Anyway, Owens in the back with Pierce. He starts saying how he knows Pierce for a long time, yada, yada, and he wants a match with Uso, and of course it happens. He books it. Kayla in the back with Big E and Apollo. Big E says he's going to have an open challenge next week, and Apollo goes, oh, I'll take that challenge right now. Okay, great. So that'll be next week, Big E versus Apollo, and the first for Big E to run through. Riot Squad versus Billy Kay and Tamina. Then Natty shows up right off the fucking bat. So it's Riot Squad versus Tamina and Natty. I feel bad for Liv Morgan. They have put her through how many fucking gimmicks to change her look, her outfit. She was a lesbian for 5 fucking minutes. Back to fucking square one. Exactly where the fuck she started. And remind me why they had to break up Peyton and Billy. Is this because Peyton is running over everyone on Raw and Billy Kay is taking over SmackDown, right? That's what happened? They're so good?
It's just a complete mess. Putting her with fucking Lacey Evans, with that, she's got that shitty, like, purple hair, and just everybody's just worse off. Everyone's worse off. I don't understand it at all.
Billy is managing the bad guys and swaps over to the good guys in the middle of the match and, like, shouts advice. Now she's fucking a coach. She's fucking Billy Gulak or fucking Gable now. She yells, turn it into a pin. And now she runs off with Riot Squad, you know, jumping up and down. Let alone the looks. She drives me out of my fucking mind with her stick legs, and everything's a fucking mess over there.
Yeah, you don't like it, do you?
No, I fucking don't. I really, and the accent does not help matters. I mean, if they want you to hate people, they do a good fucking job. Banks, Belair versus Carmella with her Somalian and Bailey. The Somalian gets in the ring and does a roll around and flips back through the apron, which he almost fucks up because he hits the ropes first.
He's not a Somalian.
Oh, I thought his name was he's from Somalia, no?
You hear a story behind an actual sommelier, what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a cool...
A wine.
Like a cool guy, like a kind of like a cool hipster guy who knows about his wines, right?
Yeah.
And they changed it into a... they didn't understand what an actual sommelier was. And they changed his name to Reginald. Like, they only understood butler. Like, that was it. their understanding, I don't think Vince McMahon goes out and does anything. So their whole understanding of this was
butler and bodyguard. That's all they know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So whoever came up with the whole original idea of a sommelier, which would be someone who, you know, would be around a Carmella or all these party girls or whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't understand that. So I don't know what his original name was. It's Reginald now. But it's now Reginald the Black Butler.
You know who would have made a great sommelier over this, I think, is Orlando Jordan when he was doing the TNA gay stuff, like hardcore fucking, you know, with the guy and the girl and he's dressed in fucking caution tape, all that kind of shit. I think that would have been perfect because he'd have been, you know, very gay and with the wine and, you know, as Carmella's psychic.
Bought out on a fucking stand, like on a throne, and he had all these fucking, he was wrestling barefoot and everything, and he was like super gay.
I remember him coming from the ceiling.
Yeah, when Hogan took over TNA, and Hogan wanted him to do it super gay.
I loved it. I loved it because he was like making out with the fucking guy that was there and the girl. You didn't know what's going on. I go, this is fucking fantastic.
It was cool for me because me and Craig had seen him being fucking super gay in the around the bars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, like Craig in our group chat, like Orlando was trying to like bang him like big time. And he was always hanging around with like 20-year-old skinny white boys, which is what Craig was at the time.
It's so fucking great. The Somalian jumps, does a backflip off the apron. Now he's kind of showing off a little bit of skill, like he actually is going to be a wrestler. And Sasha's distracted. They go, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, we've never watched Ricochet, I guess, before. Carmella gets the pin. Reigns and Uso and Paul in the back. Reigns is pissed about this match being made for tonight. And for all he does for the company, and he's not appreciated because this match was made. He's like, go find out what the fuck this is. Paul goes out. Sonya's back. This is where I start screaming again. And so I guess my prediction was wrong last week. Did you hear my prediction on the show where I said, maybe this is a chance for Sonya to come back on Raw to help Mandy because she's getting beaten up by this MMA girl.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, welp, here she is on SmackDown. Oh, I thought she lost a match to be fired for good. So I can't wait to hear how she came back. Oh, they did. They just told us. Fucking Graves goes, she's been reinstated. Motherfucker. You fucking no use motherfuckers. No idea, motherfuckers, lazy fucking pigs. And you know who I'm talking to? I'm talking to us, Billy, because you know why? We sit there and we take it. Bend over and grip our ankles because we will continue to fucking watch because we've watched forever. So you know
the laziest thing you'd be thinking at that point is just fuck it. Don't explain it. She comes out and attacks someone, right?
Yes.
And you'll think, fucking hell, like that's lazy, but you know, you do think to yourself, what was really the out? So she's come in, she's attacked somebody, fair enough, like you give them the pass as that being the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Somehow these motherfucking lazy pieces of shit went below the line.
Mm-hmm.
There was a line at the bottom. The bottom was she comes back and attacks someone. That is the lowest point of expectation that I have. That she just comes in, attacks someone, she's in a feud, they don't say shit. They just said she was rehired. Like, she's been reinstated from a retirement match that happened in fucking August, right? And she's back in, and she's walking in, like, dressed as fucking Brody Lee in the dark. Fucking Brody Lee cosplay.
She might need a mask.
Every other fuck is doing his moves, even though they're fucking 5'4", like Woods, and no one's saying shit. She just comes in dressed as the guy, clean shaven, and like just rolls straight in. And they said, oh, yeah, she's been reinstated. Kev, this is below the lazy line. This is below zero.
What below is zero. The best? I only have one in mind that is any different than they've ever done. There is only one time I have seen anything other than someone just running in and beating somebody up.
What was that?
That's Macho Man having problems and going on a fucking whole sign on this thing, get the Macho Man reinstated, petitioning to the fucking president of the WWE. That is the only time I've seen anything other than just showing up.
Matt was being arrested for a few weeks. Remember when Edge fucked Lita and Matt got fired for what he said online?
But that was like real though. They didn't have a match to get booted. No, they had a match to go to another show, but they didn't say you're fired after this match. They just fired his ass.
No, they fired him, and then he ended up being rehired. But the way they brought him back when he was rehired was, was through doing the attacks first. In the mm-hmm. he was arrested a few times. I mean, now I'd kill for that now.
Oh, that Matt and fucking Edge thing was so good, and they ruined it though. They completely fucked the whole thing up. They had a match that became bloody, and they had to stop the fucking match. And of all things, they didn't even let Matt get fucking revenge for it. He gets his woman taken away and fucking loses by getting his ass beat. Great.
But at that point, like when you, I mean, it was stupid at the time, but when you saw like how much heat Edge had,
yeah,
and how they were heading towards the Money in a Bank and the title and all that, they had to go with the project. At least back then, they would make a commitment to a star and say, you know what, he's going to be something. He's got super fucking heat. We're going to put the Money in a Bank on him. We're going to elevate him. We're going to do something with him. Like, we're going to use this Matt thing to make him an absolute prick.
I would think at least they could do something to where it's a fucking last man standing. So it's not a normal match. And just so you've beaten him to death where he can't get up. Something to where I hit you with a sledgehammer then. You know, something.
Matt won the last man standing match in the September pay-per-view. And then they ended up having a ladder match to see who stayed on Raw.
And Lita fucking hold them down, right? in the ropes.
Yeah. Yeah, but Matt did win a big pay-per-view match in between. After the pay-per-view after SummerSlam.
I was so looking forward to that fucking SummerSlam match. I was so pissed when it ended. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me that this is what they did.
SummerSlam 1 was weird, but when it was the second match on the card, it wasn't going to have a conclusive finish.
So Street Profits annoy us in the ring and give us predictions for what will happen this year. And they reveal a drum set for Dawkins to bang on like a fucking prehistoric man discovering the wheel. No reason at all for this. He's sitting there banging on the drum. What the fuck is this? They say Ziggler's name this year will be the Heartache Kid. Because he copies everything of Shawn Michaels. Ziggler and Rude show up and beat the living fucking piss out of them. I do say, I changed my mind while this was going on and said, this is a great job of having sympathy on someone because they looked like they really beat the fuck out of them. So it was like, you know, that whole fucking wear on somebody's leg so they're screaming like you really fucked them up. That always gets me where I'm like, oh, wow, look, it looks like he's really fucking hurt. And it wasn't in a goofy way. It was like a hardcore, vicious, I'm really attacking somebody. So I thought that was good when they got to that. Before that, I was ready to fucking kill myself.
I can't have any sympathy for Street Profits stuff. I just can't stand them. So like anything that happens to them, and anyone they're up against, I want them to lose. I mean, it's reached that point now. It's the same with the New Day. Like when we get to the start of Raw,
yes,
I'm ready.
Well, I have a note and a question for you at that point too. Yeah. Kayla's in the back interviewing the Dirty Dogs. This is a new team name, I guess, which is horrible. Ziggler and Rude even have T-shirts now, and it's Pitbulls wearing sunglasses. One has long hair, one has a beard. I guess they have a name now and they will be pushed and win the titles. If you have a T-shirt and you're just thrown together, you have to win the title. Cole says, go ahead.
Aces. Oh, I thought there was something Aces with the week before.
Oh, I don't even recall them saying that. So
yeah, a different name.
Cole says, did this earn them a title shot? And Corey goes, yes. I love that. Yes. All you got to do is just do, like Barry Horowitz just should have jumped Hogan. Fuck that. I want to fuck it. He would have had a shot all the time.
Well, I mean, Sonya phoned in and said, asked if she could.
I thought she just showed up to the fucking arena. Fuck it. I'm here. I'm here. I'm queer. Let's get our asses in gear. Gable trains Brian to fuck Otis in the ass. And Cesaro and Shinsuke show up and say, what the fuck is going on here? Did you see this? He's fucking him from behind. Constantly with the... You didn't see this? Oh, you need to go back to watch this. He's doing pelvis thrusts while he's gripped fucking Otis around the waist. And he's pounding him in the fucking ass. Brian and Otis versus Shinsuke and Antonio Cesaro. Shinsuke taps to Brian. And then they do the Three Amigos salute after this. I just love that the Otis and Mandy thing, it's just never ever going to be mentioned again. Just go away. Go away.
When we'll find out what that storyline was.
I wonder if, Sonya going to be a bad guy or good guy? Is she going to go apologize to Otis? How is this going to be? Owens versus Uso. Stunner. Owens wins. After Owens beats up Uso, and then Roman shows up, and they're by those monitors in the crowd. He sneak out by there and then beats the shit out of Owens. That's the end of SmackDown. So let's get to our nightmare called Raw. We're already about 21, 22 minutes into this show. Legends Night, shouldn't this have been on SmackDown? It's Fox. It's national audience. It's old-time wrestlers. Supposedly, they're going to be on the show. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
Yeah. Raw is the one that's getting fucking shit-canned like every week on the ratings. So,
I guess. I mean, I think this is they care more about, oh, let's get that immediate rating, instead of bringing new eyes to the product where you go, oh, Hogan's going to be on. I used to watch wrestling. And then you get into it and go, ooh, what's with these new guys? I like this Roman Reigns. Maybe I watch. No. They fucking, let's put them on fucking Raw. Hogan talks about the H phone right away. Billy, this show, I said, oh no, we're in trouble. We're in big fucking trouble. Who would, somebody wrote this and said, Hulk, Mr. Hulk Hogan, Mr. Terry Bollea, you of great fucking respect. You were the face of this company. You were the number one wrestler in the world, Sports Illustrated. I have this script for you. You're going to show your iPhone and you're going to call it an H phone. And you're going to say I could tweet on this phone and I can make a fucking phone call. Wow. This is what they have writers. This is amazing.
And I swear to God, it was a fucking iPhone 6 or something as well.
No, it had the three cameras. I saw the three cameras. I knew he had the new one. Just don't know why they doing it. I tell Fausti, I go, watch the last 40 minutes of Raw. The rest is fucking painful. He writes me at like 9 o'clock when it aired for him. And he goes, fucking the H phone. Fuck off, brother. Like, oh my God. Miz TV with the New Day. My question was, who's more annoying, the New Day or the Prophets?
This was just absolute go away fucking TV. Austin was sitting there rolling his eyes. And
how old is your son?
9.
Yes. Go ahead.
He was sighing. He kept going, oh, this noise. Oh, oh. Can we forward this bit, Dad?
Yeah.
Can we forward this bit? And then Teddy Long comes out and he says, The Undertaker, and Austin didn't know the joke.
Oh, really? Like, and he jumped up and down.
Like, oh my God.
I'm sorry, son.
And it was like, oh, and he was like, oh no, it's a tag match. And he goes, oh, can we forward the tag match?
Oh, see, your advantage is I think it is very good to have it recorded. I took a shower before it started, so I was 15 minutes behind. I caught up too quickly though, because I'm like, this match went 3 fucking commercials. And I'm like, I fast forwarded. I was like, I don't fuck this.
What didn't go to commercials? Like, I couldn't believe shit on this show that was going through 2 commercials when you had all these fucking legends backstage and they couldn't think of anything to do with them. It was like, you sit down, someone's going to talk to you. You're talking to him. Man. You're talking to him. You say, damn, fuck you. Like, when I heard him say damn, I literally just said, here comes the damn.
Yeah.
Fuck my life. Like, this is so boring. Like, how can this be all that they do?
Do you realize all those people they announced that were going to be there? No, there was no Carlito. The one that I was really shocked until I just thought about it 2 seconds ago was, of all people, Michael Hayes. Didn't they say he was supposed to be there?
Listen, respect to anybody that was communicated to by WWE and decided to ask what they were actually going to be doing and then decided that they didn't need to come in. Like, I even feel sorry for Tatanka.
Oh, God. Yeah, dress up for me.
Yeah, dress up in your fucking gear.
Fuck.
Melina's doing the fucking Lucha House Party shit. Whoa. She hasn't been fucking years. IRS is standing around walking about. I mean,
there was so much to do with IRS that they could have fucking, he could have attacked IRS because it was Fiend's dad. Shit, like, I mean, break down the fourth wall. They could have done shit. You know, I wrote a note for later in the show and I'll talk about it now. I said, okay, this is all supposed to be realistic, right? This is, you know, a movie. Now, the legends are all supposed to come to Raw. And if this is real life, okay, it's Legends Night. So what was the original plan for all of the legends? We're inviting you to come hang out backstage. That's what they were invited for because that's all they ever did. They came backstage and talked to each other and wrestlers would pass by them. I was like, when it first fucking happened, I go, oh no. Oh no, this is all that's going to happen. Nobody's coming to the ring to do anything. There's not going to be a fucking, oh fuck. I mean, the most action was Ric Flair.
Yeah, that even makes sense. You're going to get all that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, we'll get into that match. Let me go through here. That tag team match happens. New Day wins. Who cares? I said they read my SmackDown notes about the fucking Teddy Long thing. Review of Bliss and Orton from last week. Orton is interviewed now because remember, this was a big cliffhanger. What a fucking, and this is the reveal. The Fiend changed me and I'm very upset that I gave Bliss compassion, but I let her, I just didn't drop the match. Thanks. Thanks for your fucking explanation. New Year's party with, the New Day and Truth. They showed this. I don't know when the fuck this was from. I guess they were hanging out. This was their New Year's party for the year. Three people, I guess because of COVID. So they had this, and Garza rolls up R-Truth to win the fucking title from him. The one thing,
this is where he's at now.
Yeah, I was. That's why I go, wait a minute, because I'm like, who rolled him up? Because I look twice and I go, Garza. Why would they put beneath him? Remember last week also I said name the fucking legends who will win the hardcore title, whatever, the 24 title. I was shocked that none of them won the fucking title. I thought we picked that. So in back, Garza is with Alicia Fox, who is now all tatted up with sleeves. Ugh. Garza shows his belt and says, you want to see the sexiest thing ever. And Alicia Fox goes, oh, the guy on the fucking skateboard with the cranberry juice who played the fucking Fleetwood Mac song? What the fuck is she talking about?
I have no idea. I thought it was an American thing.
It is. It's a thing. But what? Why? Have you ever seen this? This was a TikTok where you've had to see it. There's a guy on TikTok that fucking skateboarded while drinking cranberry juice and that fucking music was playing. And all of a sudden that made, like, he's popular now because it makes fucking no sense though. It's like, oh, it's pop culture. Let's just mention it. And she storms off and I'm like, what? What the fuck? So then we see, then he sees, this is Garza walking around more, and he sees Tatanka, Mickey James, and Slaughter. Doesn't Mickey still work there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. This is just retarded. I've had it. AJ versus Elias. AJ wins. Who gives a fuck? This is...
Why are we fucking doing this again? It was through two breaks, and it was all... And it was all a 20 to 25 minute investment because some guy's going to kick a guitar out of another guy's hand.
Yeah, and it was It was more so that he got his leg up there and Gunnar fucking swung the thing at his foot. It wasn't right. that he fucking speed kicked and fucking got him. And I love the fact that they finally mentioned why, I call him Gunnar, I don't care, why Gunnar is with Elias. Did you hear them mention this, that he believes in his music?
Yeah, I have said that before, yeah.
Oh, I started fucking, you know, the other day I mentioned to Faust how you wrote, you tweeted, not tweeted, you texted Bruce Pritchard to yell at him after, I think it was a pay-per-view, right? It was an ending or something that was shit. And you fucking tweet and you texted him and said, this is what the fuck you came up with, and started screaming at him. And I'm like, Billy's out of his fucking mind. He cares that much that he fucking yelled at Bruce Pritchard. This show is going on. And I text Faust and I go, I need to get Bruce's fucking phone number. I've had it. Like, this is fucking, this is so fucking bad. Someone needs to be held responsible. It's riddling back now with the Big Show. The Big Show with the Big Tard. And,
horses.
So, and this is what I write too at the time. So this is what it's going to be all night. Guys just run into each other in the back. This is when it started to be, this is what they're doing. It's not just that one little piece. It wasn't that, oh, well, later they're going to come out and do something.
This was him talking to Riddle. Then Randy Orton comes in, and everybody goes up to Randy Orton, and Randy's like, oh, I want to do stuff to you. I would like to do stuff to you, but you're not gonna fucking fight back. When did that ever matter? You fucking attacked four guys blindfolded with a fucking nightlight, right?
And he spit in Foley's face and kicked him down the stairs when Foley didn't fight back.
Right. Yeah. So now what? You need guys to be able to fucking be mobile.
Oh.
Like, first of all, so he's in fucking Big Show's face, and Big Show's like, do it if I want to. And Orton's like, go on then. He's like, well, I could. He's like, well, go on then. But I can still go. No, you can't. Go on then. What the fuck was this? And then he's fucking going up to Mark Henry later in a fucking mobility scooter. Like, what? Why?
And Mark Henry looked like a bitch, scooting away like a bitch. Go scoot your fucking ass down the hall. I go, friendly giant.
Any of this is going on because why the hell does he care if they can walk, talk, stand, shit, breathe? He just killed him in the first place. Now he's waiting for like some kind of fucking resistance where someone turns around and goes, yeah, come on then, Randy, let's go. Like, no, it's just fucking nonsense. It's just shit. It's pure shit and nonsense and a waste of time. Actually made Orton look bad.
Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce versus Charlotte and Asuka, non-tag. Flair is with Charlotte ringside. Charlotte's protecting Rick a lot because Lacey keeps getting closer to him. Oh, God forbid. Because Flair would get beat up by Lacey Evans. Oh, well, maybe, though.
She's protecting him from being, like, kissed.
Yes.
Like, she's cock-blocking her dad, and her dad doesn't want to be cock-blocked.
It's like, I'm tired of you cheating, Dad. Fucking stay.
Flair's there like, okay, let's do this. Let's fucking do it. That's what he's doing. And the whole match is Charlotte cock blocking her dad because he's too embarrassing.
So Rick accidentally grabs Charlotte's leg during a fucking like a reversal into the ropes. I've never understood that. That was the same thing where Road Dogg did it to Double J when Sean threw him in the rope. That is one that I'm always like, how, I mean, you have to have your back completely turned and time that someone's going to be there, and that's the fucking oops. It's so fucking bad.
And you may as well have just fucking concluded the story with what Ric Flair's done his whole life. He's put pussy before his kids.
Yeah,
and
he's
smell that pussy, and you could have told the whole story in one match where he tripped up Charlotte because fucking Lacey's going to give him a blowy. Like, it's pretty fucking straightforward how this works.
Yeah, and you know what? He could have fucking, went up the aisle and said, you know, hoes before bros. One of something. Fucking been like, sorry. And Lacey hanging on him and give him a kiss on the cheek and be like, sorry. Listen, it was one or the other. What do you want from me?
Charlotte could have just fucking sold it. Charlotte could have just smiled at it and just sold it off as like fucking.
That's my dad. Yeah. Loves that that's pussy.
Yeah.
Really? Exactly. That's it. You already wrote a better fucking Raw. Wow, it could have been that fucking much. Holy God. And so Peyton pins fucking Charlotte, and that's the end of that. And she gets out in Rick's face and screams at him, get out of my fucking life or business, whatever the fuck it is. Who cares?
There'll be no follow-up to this next
week. No, nothing. Zero. This is a one-shot deal.
They may lose the tag team title rematch, which undoubtedly will go through two ad breaks again.
Drew and Sheamus in the back with Hogan and Jimmy. This gave me the little warm and fuzzies just from looking at Sheamus. You saw the little kid that watched Hulk Hogan as a child. He was fucking in heaven watching Hogan go back and forth. And you could fucking see him beaming from it. Like he was covering his fucking face almost watching this. I like seeing that kind of stuff because we all grew up, you know, Hogan the man, all that. Riddle versus Lashley, non-US title. I really enjoyed this because it was an aggressive match. Lashley's just a monster with strength, like picking up fucking, like just tossing fucking Riddle, like not nicely. And so it looked better. Got to see Riddle doing some like real MMM type of shit. So you would know that he really could fuck people up if he wanted to. And it was just a very aggressive match. Hurt Lock, Riddle taps out, but the ref is not seeing it. And Bobby lets him go right away, and then he gets rolled up. Fast and Furious, and the match was snug. I didn't have a problem with this match at all. This is one of the higher points of the night.
Yo, well, I mean, at least you're trying to get to something. You're trying to get to them facing off for the title, and Riddle doesn't have enough credibility for a title shot before mm-hmm. this happens.
And Riddle wasn't acting like a moron during the match. Before and after, different story. During, he was business. Mark Henry in the back, like we talked about, talking to Ricochet. Orton shows up, talks shit. Henry scoots away with his bad leg like a bitch. Mandy on the way to the ring in her plastic vinyl fucking pants. God fucking Jesus Christ. I would eat her thong, Billy. I would serve it and eat it. Thank you. Shayna jumps her on the way to the ring. Dana runs to the ring with those fucking bombs on her chest, looking like Sable when she got the extra big titty implants jogging. Chest bouncing all over the place. Challenges Shayna, has a match and fucking wins. Mandy's thong is showing. That's another note. Thank you. And I still hate when they flex when they stand there because it's not like they got fucking arms like China, you know? So, Ric Flair and IRS and Miss Madness in the back. Orton shows up and Orton and Rick go back and forth. I thought Orton should have beat up the Fiend's father. They could have done a little wink about that. You know, went up to him and said, well, I know who really will hate this. And then fucking beat him up. Something. Orton versus Hardy. I still cannot handle when Orton is tugging on those fucking earlobes. I cringe. And it looks like it's going to fucking rip eventually. I can't take it. RKO. Orton wins. Lucha House Party sees Melina and her big giant tits in the back. This is Melina's contribution going Lucha Lucha. And that's the end of that. Oh, look, it's Melina. Okay. Lucha versus the Hurt Business non-tag title match. Lucha wins. And there's dissension in the ranks. Fucking, what's his name? Alexander. He's like, I didn't want to get pinned. Fuck you. So he's pissed off. I said, oh, look at this. They can't be breaking this shit up already. Tori's in the back with Nikki. And she's like 8 feet taller than fucking Nikki. Garza shows up and tries to fuck Tori. And she goes, oh, Cardi B's in the other fucking room. Why don't you go say hi to her? And Ariana Grande. And he goes in there and sees the boogeyman. And then R-Truth rolls him up to pin and gets the fucking title. And this is where Ron Simmons says, damn. Now, Main event. This is what we're here for. Drew versus Keith Lee. All the legends are up on stage. This is when Keith Lee comes out. They're all on stage because when Drew comes out, he holds up that sword every fucking time I see that. I think he's going to flip the sword upside down and sword swallow because he's got his head up and the fucking sword up. It drives me crazy. Do that at the pay-per-view. Come out in the skirt. I don't mind that. Slam the fucking sword into the fucking stage, pay-per-view only. That's my advice. Legends are on stage. This is the first time I saw Booker, and I wrote Ace Orton. And then I realized later on it was Double J. This is odd that they're all just on stage sitting and watching. And Drew nearly impales Keith Lee on the corner of the fucking table. This made me fucking jump. Keith Lee with a Spanish fly.
Was it close call? Like, we're on the fucking edge.
It was close, man.
I wonder if he just lost him.
If he what?
Just lost him. Just like lost.
I thought he kind of lost probably how close he was and also at the same time started getting fucking weak. Like, that's a load to fucking hold up and have to fucking run around with. I just think he was just off on his throw. Spanish fly. This is impressive that this fat bastard could flip at all. And to do a Spanish fly and DDT yourself at the same time. That's impressive. Claymore by Drew. Win. Great match. I really enjoyed. I thought it was a fucking good. It was a very, there was a couple of these snug matches tonight, which I thought was fucking good. Goldberg shows up afterwards. They caught me off guard. And it was very odd because he goes, oh, Drew says, you know, all respect all these legends, but he doesn't really think that. He thinks you're all beneath him and he's better than all of you were in your heyday. Where I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? He's just making up shit. He's like Trump out there. He just make up shit. And he says, I'm not coming out here to threaten you. I'm coming out to challenge you at the Rumble. Drew says, oh, you're not the same guy you were before with all piss and vinegar. You couldn't fucking do shit to me. This would be like fighting my dad, mate. And fucking Goldberg laughed in his face. Drew laughed back and he fucking pushes Drew on his ass. And that's how it went off the air for me. I saw on Instagram that Drew got back up and like headbutted him. And that's how it ends on their Instagram. But I thought this was a fucking... Last half hour of the show, fucking fantastic. Never mind 2.5.
What do you mean?
The last half hour of the show was fantastic. The 2.5 hours prior, I fucking could leave it home.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying, but sure. I don't think the last hours were fantastic. All right, so they had a title match, but like you'd have to suffer through everything else before that. The use of the legends is fucking... It's just embarrassing and terrible and lazy. It's like, I just couldn't believe at this point where you're like in the Thunderdome and you're like lagging under two every single week and you bring all these people back. And let's think about the circumstances of the world, right? You're bringing back the oldest, most vulnerable people to die, right? but you must do it because you have the rating. If you've got them there, right? And like you're gonna get this criticism anyway, because look, one of them guys get fucking sick and they go down, like you're gonna get criticized for this entire show, right? So you've done all of this. They're sitting around on their fucking asses doing absolutely nothing. They're doing the same fucking segments. You could have rerun shit with Ron Simmons doing Damn and whatever. Like, I just couldn't believe the laziness. The only guy that comes out there is fucking Ric Flair. Everyone else is only involved backstage doing nothing at all. You know, they did a few bits with Hogan, but like you're never recovering from H-Phone, like to start it off from. Like that was just like, I mean, at one point, my expectations are so low at that point. I'm just thinking, don't let that be the only bit that Hogan does. And then we get the bit by that second ring where he's with fucking Sheamus and Drew, and you're almost like relieved, but you know that shit. Like, you know that was your bottom expectation at the start that he would rub with the new champ. Because I even text Drew in the week and said, you know, you're going to get that Hogan rub on the weekend. You're going to get the Hogan rub on Monday. So yeah. I text him again. And he goes, oh, I don't know what's going on at the moment. You know, like he never does. But,
and that's no knock on him. They just don't fucking know.
Exactly. And it's clear they don't know because, like, they bring everybody out and they just fill them into backstage segments. Why is nobody out there talking about their moments and they're being interrupted and whatever? Like, Tatanka, Jeff Jarrett, I'm trying to think of who else was there. I'm trying to think of people that could have got RKO'd and you could have done something with. Tatanka's probably still on the indies. Jarrett looks completely fine. There's at least four or five other guys that, I mean, IRS maybe is another one. You know, they all could have, like, had shit done to them. It all could have got fucking physical. You all could have used people in fucking segments. You could have done something with Elias and Jeff Jarrett singing or whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, just do something. Don't just wrestle the same fucking matches that you do. I don't need to see Peyton Royce and Oscar and Charlotte going across two. I don't need to see an Elias AJ rematch. I certainly don't need to see the New Day beating the Miz and Morrison. I could cut at least 90 minutes out of the show in replacement for 90 minutes of better things I could have done with the legends. And then you go to the end of the show and you're just thankful that fucking there's something there between Goldberg and Drew. Goldberg fucked his lines up big time. Like, and after subjecting us to all of this shit, they didn't leave them enough time to do what they needed to do at the end. Like, that should... I looked at that.
This is Brent getting kicked out of the wheelchair.
It was 2 hours, 58 minutes into the show when Goldberg came out. Like, you should have left. You should have cut shit from that show. They should have been fucking 10 minutes when Goldberg came out. Like, and they should have really fucking talked, like, shit to each other about how you ain't got respect. And he, and Drew saying, you know, you're like me taking you on now is like my dad. Goldberg pushes him. Drew headbutts him. They all like, then they fucking just go at it. All the legends then have to come down and break them up. Like, then the legends are in the ring.
Yeah.
The new guys are in the ring. The legends are in the ring. There's like some heat between the new guys and the fucking legends. And all the legends are then getting fucking heated with the new guys.
Oh, but see? This is fucking great. It would be all the legends holding back Goldberg and all the fucking new guys on Drew's side and then fucking start pointing and yelling. 100%. 100%.
That's how you go out. That's how you use everybody.
Now, here's a serious question for you. And you tell me what you think for real.
No, I'm not available to work there. I've got too many things going on.
That is that is close to the question.
I would have asked. Drew's already told me you wouldn't last 2 days here.
Well, that is, see, what are you looking at my notes? Here is what I was going to say. A question, a part of it is, do you think Drew would be too intimidated, too scared to speak up and have a meeting with Vince and say, all these problems, I'm sure he don't want to rock a boat. He's the champion. Why would he fucking try this? And say, I know a guy that give the man 3 weeks. Hell, one fucking show. Give him one show to do to prove himself. Obviously, Vince can check it. It's not like, you know, you'll be changing all the fucking titles. He could supervise, all that kind of shit. He got to run things past, but hear you out and fucking listen to it. It's fucking so simple, but he needs someone to fucking talk. Like, Austin goes for it. Austin Stone Cold said, this is fucking not right, and would tell Vince, you have to not be scared to fucking say something. And I think Drew would have enough stroke to where... I can't imagine. Vince is like, well, now I'm going to fucking bury you. How dare you fucking say this? He sees that it's fucking shit. He sees that people say this is trash. Why would you not be like, go ahead. You write the fucking show 1 week. Let's see what you could do, fucking Big Shot, because it can't get any fucking worse. But it's someone needs to fucking tell him this.
Here's the problem, right? And here's where I really like, I'm just resigned to the fact that it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this Liv Morgan documentary. I watched the ideas that they had for her and then the way that she was pissed around and moved back and forth to TV. I watched Paul Heyman explain the character. I watched Paul Heyman explain what he thought Liv Morgan was and what she represented. He spoke about his daughter. He spoke about how daughters are. He spoke about how he relates his daughter to live when he writes for her and what he thinks that she represents. It was absolutely fucking a nailed on representation of that age and how Liv should be coming across and what her character is supposed to be. Somehow, when he's tried to explain this to them in his role, in terms of what he envisions for a character, and in no way, shape or form did I come across, did I look at that and see that Heyman was out of touch. He was not out of touch. He was completely in touch because he has his own kid. Maybe he's not in touch with every single character, but I assure you he was in touch enough with how he wanted Drew to be booked through the Brock program, how he wanted Drew to be booked afterwards as a champion. I know Drew was happier. I know Liv Morgan was happy with what she was doing. I knew the direction for the Rusev, Lana, Liv storyline, etc., made a lot more sense. I know that Heyman knew what he was doing with that story and especially knew what his plans were with Liv. And somehow, through the translation of what he thought and how it ended up coming across, it was not understood by the people that make the final decisions. That guy, I think, was banging his fucking head against the wall. By the time that he was fired, he just turned around and went, thank fucking God, because I'm on a talent contract anyway. I'm going to be managing Brock when he comes back. Oh, he's not coming back yet. It doesn't matter. I've got millions saved. Oh, wait a minute. Roman Reigns wants to do something with me. I'm backing anyway. And I don't have to pitch ideas and explain things to these fucking retards that don't understand anything that's happening in the current year. They are out of touch with the product. They're out of touch with other products. They're out of touch with Netflix. They're out of touch with everything else that's going on in TV in the world. They're in the bubble. And Heyman was semi in and couldn't convey anything outside of the bubble. I have never been in the bubble. There's no way that I could go in there and reformulate their TV. I sit there with fucking Russo and do it every single week. Fuck, like, I even have better ideas than Russo, and he's the guy that wrote the best fucking TV I've ever seen. It doesn't fucking matter because A, they're not going to listen, and B, I don't have the fucking temperament to take that shit because I already have money coming in from somewhere else. I already have other shit to do. And this is fucking rock bottom of the barrel. There's no way that me and Vince Russo or whoever couldn't go in for a day and get this number up. It's so fucking easy. It's like you're doing it from a 1.7. There is no new audience. It's a pure core.
Do you think this is all Vince? Like the writers probably have just as good of ideas, I would assume. I can't imagine that they all are horrible. That's like impossible. And that Vince just goes, no, it should be this.
Vince is there and he has his secondary in front of him to back up, so he's not there standing alone. Bruce is there to verify any of the ideas that he has. When it's easy in it to turn around and go, well, I'm not as dumb as shit and I'm not as out of touch because this guy's here and he's verifying my ideas for me. So you now have to get past and the thing is, there's more guys there as well. There's specifically hired road agents that will nod along. Triple H is there. He's had his fights over the last like year or so. But at the end of the day, like that's what Bruce is there for. Bruce is there to act as the buffer between Vince and Triple H, and he becomes the man that makes it always. You know, he's got that extra vote, and it's always going to be on Vince's side of things. And the thing is that I by no way, shape or form think that Triple H and Stephanie are the fucking saviors who have all of the great ideas. But you know what they do? They do fucking allow the writers a platform to be heard, and they do take the best ideas from that. They might not necessarily have the best ideas, and I don't think Triple H does, and I don't think NXT is a perfect show, but I know that back in the day, he was always listening to a guy called Ryan Ward, and Ryan Ward put together the best version of NXT before he went to SmackDown, clashed with Road Dogg, and Vince McMahon took Road Dogg's side on everything, and that's why. And these old guys with these old ideas will always emerge as the winners. Road Dogg's, Bruce, whoever's there, whoever mostly closely relates to Vince and can see things through Vince's eyes. I mean, look, let's take a look at it from another perspective. If I'm there and I become, you know, friends with Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon is making me his right-hand man, and I'm the highest paid writer there, and all I need to do is speak and make Vince's visions make sense to younger people, mm-hmm. and that gets me paid more than everybody else and a job for life, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
There's too many people that are sellouts at their core, and there isn't enough reason for people to speak up and say, I'm going to say what I want to say, and I might lose my job, but if I don't lose my job, I might just break through this exterior and become the next Russo who ends up just being handed the pencil and my ideas get listened to first before everybody else, and Vince is like more likely to take them than he's not. There's no way for that guy to break through, because they, in return, they don't have the desperation either. They're already making money. Their TV deals are 4 or 5 years old. They're all locked in. They're on Fox. USA are going to renew. Fox may or may not renew. But the situation is that, you know, they're doing like ridiculous shareholder. They're doing ridiculous like stock reports, which are continuing to make money. They're making more money now running out of the Thunderdome than they were when they were like running with crowds and doing house shows and stuff. And they know the next step in the business is to permanently run Raw out of an arena, which every week is going to only have, you know, a couple of thousand fans in there. Like, because that's how you run things in the future. It's going to be a case of running out of the same building, owning all of the equipment, not transferring things, making sure that your costs stay exactly where they are, and just getting a couple of thousand people's money to add to it and making your TV look a bit better. Like, all of a sudden, the Manhattan Center way of running things, the idea that initially had those cost-cutting measures from the 90s, are going to be how they move forward. And there'll be like maybe 2-3 house shows a month in huge cities. Like, that's how this business is going to evolve. They know how their business will evolve. And I don't think the TV is like paramount to it at all, because they know they can make money out of 1.7. I mean, I think now, even with the crowds not being there, the highest ambitions that they'd be looking at would be, do you know what? If we can get to 2.2, 2.3, and we can renew our deals with USA, and if we can get something back with Fox next time around, like, they're just going to be happy with everything. Like, I don't think it's in their mind to make massive changes to the TV. Like, there was like all these stories out a few weeks ago where it was like going to be, oh, they're not going to be PG anymore, and they're going to like break away from the PG, and USA said this and USA did that. It was just all made up stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they basically just, you know, tried to do a few things for a spike, but they're not going to get away. And you know what? It's gone beyond PG. It's gone beyond PG. There's nothing, you know, the PG doesn't mean you don't do any stories. It's gone way beyond that. The level of like laziness just has gone beyond that.
Because the 80s were PG, and they had fucking storylines like a motherfucker.
Exactly. Like, you had fucking all kinds of shit. Like, I mean, you had stories where, you know, you had things like this. Like, I can, off the top of my head, just with one character, I always go back to this. I can name you stuff that Jake was doing, from fucking Honky Tonk smashing him over the head with a guitar, mm-hmm. and turning babyface, to Rick Rude like messing with his wife, to him trying to like get the $1 million belt, to Earthquake squashing his snake, and then he gets a new snake and he turns bad, and then he turns heel and he messes up Savage's wedding, and then we get him setting the stake on Savage. In between, I even missed him going blind with Rick Martel.
Do you think because it was so few and far in between, and it wasn't, you know, every week, so many fucking all the time, like constant shows?
The thing is, right, is like, whether it be every week or, you know, or every month or whatever, or 2 hours or 1 hour, whatever, you still throw up a board and you still turn around on that board and you say, what's Drew doing? What's Drew doing today? What's Drew doing for the next month? What's Drew doing from pay-per-view to pay-per-view? Okay, now what's Randy doing? What's Bray doing from pay-per-view to pay-per-view? What's Retribution actually doing from this pay-per-view to that pay-per-view? What's everybody's fucking feud that get through from A to B? I understand that pay-per-view to pay-per-view is now fucking 4 weeks and, you know, it's a lot more difficult to do. But the fact is that the TV is oversaturated with shit. Because the thing is that if you know that certain people are going to be wrestling against certain people, then they shouldn't be touching in certain situations. But you don't have a match to do. Like, when it comes to pay-per-view, like, we just had Orton and Wyatt in the main event. Right? They're revisiting things from feuds that lasted in 2016. Every time a new feud starts, they're now starting at their 16th or 17th fucking match that they've had. There's nothing that you do or start again at all. I understand that this week we had Keith Lee and Drew, which is a first-time match, or sort of, even though they had loads of matches when Keith came in, but they were like all ending in DQs, if you remember. But this is the first match they've ever had with a finish. Now, if you have to get to, let's say Drew keeps the title past WrestleMania, and then we go to fucking Backlash and Keith Lee wins a fucking beat-the-clock challenge, and you're doing Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre at Backlash for the title when you already did it on Raw. And then you're trying to sell it as a pay-per-view. Who gives a fuck? Like, no one cares because everything's been seen and done. Like, these matches are not special. There was a time where fucking Daniel Bryan came back, you know, after when he couldn't be cleared. And you were thinking, oh, Daniel Bryan versus Balor versus AJ Styles versus Nakamura.
Yeah,
versus
all the dream matches.
They have not paid one of those matches off successfully with a long build and at a major pay-per-view where you were like really looking forward to it.
It's going
to
turn into Cena and Orton 5,000 times.
Yeah, there's no like market. There's no marketing of any kind of major poster from any pay-per-view where I could see where it was massively built up and said, this is it. This is it. Like fucking, even if it's No Mercy 2018, the first meeting between Daniel Bryan and Nakamura is going to be on this pay-per-view. Didn't happen. It was probably just on a SmackDown, unpromoted. It's a fucking shit show. It's a fucking, you've got everything there. These wrestlers that are there now are much better than the wrestlers that we watched when we were growing up, as far as talent-wise goes. There's just the people that are tasked with making those matches worth watching are fucking useless and lazy, and you can't put that on the wrestlers. Like, you can't put Retribution on Ali. You can't put like the Ray and Rollins story on Ray and Rollins. You can't put Drew's title run on Drew. The fact that like there's been like barely any matches during this run that have generated any excitement. That's not his fault. It's just. I don't know what to say. Like, it's just fucking, it is what it is. Like, they don't get you excited for anything. By the time Drew wrestles with Goldberg, I don't think you'll be that bothered about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is your wrestling show this week. Hope everybody enjoyed it. And I'm pretty sure that most of you feel the same way we do about how they are blowing this and ruining it, and even worse. This week.
We just finished up by telling you what you guys can go away and do what the WWE should do. Go away and watch Cobra Kai, the series on Netflix. Yeah. Go and see how you feel about each character, who you want to win, who you hate, how you know.
I actually listened to the Bruce show today for the first time probably a year, and he went into a whole thing about Cobra Kai, about a double turn and this and that. You know, I'm like, huh, I might actually have to watch.
It's fucking great because it's fucking compelling, and every single person has something going on. You hate people and you like people, and everybody has their fucking thing. It's just fucking story arced perfectly from each and every single episode. Like when it ends, like me and Austin, like, you know, we set timers where we're going to be like, oh, we're going to watch two, and then we're going to like, you know, then you've got to go and do some like schoolwork, and then we're going to start, you know, and then you're going to have a break to watch a computer game, and then we're going to watch, you know, another two. And like now, like, you know, we've planned it out like tonight, so we're going to finish the series, the whole season. Like, we've got two episodes left. But at no point, like, has that gone to plan, because at every juncture where we said we're going to watch two, we've watched three, because it's always a case, oh my God, what the fuck was the ending to that episode? We got to watch the next one. Like, and that's what it's supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to be like,
remember how this... you mean how Raw used to be?
Of course.
Yeah. I just watched Sid powerbomb Jose Lothario's son in the back, and that's how it went off the air. It's pretty good.
Did you come into this week's show with any anticipation as to whether Alexa Bliss had been burned to a fucking crisp?
No, zero.
No.
You know, I practically forgot about it until they brought it up, because I was more actually excited about Legends Week. Oh, I can't wait to see all these people and do stuff.
You know why you didn't give a fuck? Because you probably knew something along the lines of the explanation when you came back would be like Randy Orton turned around and went, I decided.
I just never did. Or Sonya got reinstated. Same shit. So, all right. Follow my nonsense at Lingus Mafia. Billy, he is at DirtySheets.com. You can find him there. We will be back next week for you to have some fucking commiseration and all fucking sob on each other's shoulders about this fucking nightmare that we are stuck in called the wrestling world now. For Billy, I'm Cav. We'll leave you with this. We're out of time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.
How's that? How'd I end the fucking show? Might have to end it that way every time.
Yeah, because that's the best.